Period.
Lisa, sometimes it's funny to see, because usually we or I think my thought is only my thought, but I think it's not like this. Before we were, Paul and me, we were standing near the fruit basket, and just there came the idea, oh, I could take a banana. And at the same moment he turned and took a banana. And it was funny, it was... yeah, it was. I thought it's my thought. It's happening here, but it must be happening with him at the same moment.
It's the last banana.
No, it was. There was three left.
Bananas all meat.
I don't know how it's all working. I don't even know where the thoughts are appearing. We think that they're appearing inside the brain, and then when it begins to be seen, that's a thought, then where is it even coming from, that invisible sound of thought? It's a funny one.
Ika, you know, before you were saying that not the word cause, you didn't use that, but that suffering somehow could lead us to look for non-duality, for an answer there to stop the suffering. No? And then talking to Andrea before, she was sharing that when she was very little, she can remember moments when she wasn't there, staying here.
Yeah.
And I've heard that from several other people, that we've had experiences when...
But I think that can only be recognized when the awakening's begun.
Mm-hmm.
Like, otherwise you wouldn't remember it.
Exactly,
Thank you for this answer.
Yeah,
that's a good answer. Yeah, because I hadn't thought about it. Yeah. That was an easy one. That really was it, okay. I thought it was going somewhere else then.
No.
But to me, it was new. I mean, I'm sure I've heard it 1,000 times, the suffering. Because I've heard you say often, I'm not good enough, can be also, you know, the trigger to look for non-duality. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's there, and I get it. But the suffering, maybe you've already said it before and I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
But today, suddenly, I heard it. And I thought, gee, with the amount of depressions which this body has gone through, or this character, I'm not surprised that I looked like mad till I got here.
The ache of the person always contains, I'm not good enough. Going back to that one again. Always contains that. Whenever the personal energy is strong, it always has a sense of lack, of like, I've failed in some way. There's something I'm missing here. It's like you've been abandoned or rejected by something. It always has that sensation, even though we're putting words on it, of abandonment. You've done something.
Can you say something about two people relationships, love relationships?
Well, you know, like how I've said that animals don't take things personally. Well, there can be animals, examples of animals where, like swans, where they pair for life,
mm-hmm.
and they always mate with the same swan, and often. When one swan dies, the other dies shortly after, and humans say it's suicide of the other swan.
Mm-hmm.
But it normally also dies, it doesn't normally pair again. And with humans, I'm not really sure of the setup of humans. I think there's some sort of setup in the body to mate with another and to reproduce with another, and I don't really understand how long it's to last or what it's meant to do. What happens when the identity there is there, though? That they project so much onto this like our whole, we spend so much time in this romantic relationship idea. And what I think happens often is when you're making love, it's such a pleasurable act that the self dissolves. You don't have a sense of, I want to be somewhere else. You're just making love, you're just kissing, and you kind of lose a sense of whose bit of body you've got where. It kind of all merges into one. Sometimes there is a big sense of self and you're making love and you're like, that normally only is at the beginning of a relationship, the first time you kiss or a second. Normally the identity comes in and starts making the other person something. And then, because there's been this beautiful experience, or because also we're taught by society of this beautiful experience of a romantic relationship, the person then sets the romantic relationship up as the ideal and as something to get. And it starts playing really weird games, like, and it's complicated because it's obviously like there's a chemical thing where two bodies, humans, like there's a breeding, there's two bodies that are drawn together. And then when you personalize it, it can often become, he's not giving it to me, she's not giving it to me, she's taking away something for me. And you begin to hate the other person for not giving you that ideal relationship, this big bang that you've been expecting from it. And so often these love relationships that begin so beautifully end up into a hate thing because you're expecting so much from the other. You're expecting to repeat again this sensation of love at the beginning, or you're expecting it to always be good, or you're expecting them to do certain things for you. And with all these expectations comes this way to suffering. And it can become really neurotic, the relationship, with all the conditioning of each one and then the conditioning taken personally. And overthinking it, we need to work out our problems. I'm not a big fan of therapy of relationships. I don't think you will work out your problems when there's a personal entity there. I think it's just destined to be a bit rocky when someone's personalizing it. Because also the bodies are set up differently. Women's bodies set up to more nest and to create a more nesting environment. And I don't know if the male body's so set up for that. So there's all these conflicting things that are happening, and we've got this idea that you should be with me for 50 or 60 years or... Very funky dance which the humans have in love relationships. When there's personal identity there, I think it's always going to be a bit rocky. A bit bumpy. Especially if you want, or if you have the idea, which I sometimes think is more of a female idea, that the other one will produce your happiness. I think often the woman looks to the man for happiness. Not all the time, it can be the other way around, but I think women sometimes suffer a lot with that. There it. And trying to maintain it and protect it, and even maintaining and protecting it can actually be a very natural thing, like the male swan will fight off all the other male swans from the area, so they're just the male swans in that area, and the female would do it, I think, if other female swans came in that area. It can be a very natural thing that it's when it's personalized becomes a problem.
So in a relationship where there is nobody, I mean, both the me is not there anymore, then it can work out quite well.
Well, unless you're already together, it might not be such a urge to stay together. Unless you've already got a home environment set up together, it might be not be such a pull to be together.
Can you repeat this?
I don't really know what I'm saying. I just find that if you've not already got the relationship established before the falling away happened, it might not be such a strong pull to be together.
Are you saying that if you meet two people who are not there anymore, if they meet, there will be...
Could be, but it might... It's not like before where the other person is it.
Yeah.
doesn't really matter if they're there or not, isn't it? But the chemicals obviously will have some effect, like the chemicals to reproduce and stuff. Yeah.
What's complicated is if there is one there and one who isn't there. That is definitely complicated because I've met two couples, they had to separate. Because one was very personalizing and the other one was not there and somehow it didn't work out.
Because they'll be wanting to fix their problems and work out their problems and then the other one won't see problems.
It's a funny way of fasting.
You didn't give me enough love the other night. And then the other one was like, oh. Yeah. When? It's a bit funny. I don't really understand it then. Okay, we're
safe. So the attraction is only on the chemical level, because then I would have a feeling that I would choose a new woman every 3 days.
Might be,
only this level, this.
Might be that's the way the male body is more programmed, I don't know. Or certain male bodies are more programmed.
Actually, it's not so for me, but I would have this tendency, if it's just chemical, I love to see a beautiful woman and I have my thoughts with that. But this is just a program. Personally, or deeper within, there is this tendency to stay with one other person. It's much more intimate.
Yeah, maybe.
Nicer.
But what's more...
Because you have spoken about this chemical attraction. This is the beginning.
Sorry? But this is what?
No, this is the beginning. And this is.
I don't really know how it's working, actually. This is where you're catching me out. I don't really know what takes two bodies together. I look at animals, and it happens in the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
So it's happening in the human kingdom, but I don't understand, or the human world, I don't understand how it's working. But it does seem that two bodies come together and make a home together and reproduce. It's not like four bodies or...
Yeah, so for me the question arose, what does keep human beings together?
How does it
keep them together? It's only about this chemical attraction.
Well, the obvious answer, which is just a rubbish answer for a lot of people, is nothing. Nothing does everything. Nothing's the direction of everything.
Sometimes it happens, and then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And there can be...
But it doesn't really matter when you're not looking for your fulfillment in that relationship. It doesn't really matter. It's when you're looking for, however it manifests, it's when you're looking for the other person to give you that extra thing in life. Nothing can give you the extra thing in life. It's this, what's happening, whether that body's there or not. I don't understand why or how the relationship thing is working, really. But the problem is when that other person is your happiness, they're going to give it to you. And that's how most people relate to relationships, and they hate the person after a while because you haven't given it to me. You've taken something from me. They feel like the other person's holding back something. You've taken it from me. You're not giving it to me. And nothing can give it to you. It's hopeless. Everything's hopeless. Like everything that you try to grab to is hopeless. Every idea, every spiritual practice, every person is hopeless. Because it's in the nothing, the nothingness of this, which is everything, but not one particular thing. And these relationships become so intense, and people kill over these relationships because they believe it's in that.
I've had so many clients saying, I've given him the best years of my life.
And they get so angry. What a terrible way to look at the other person.
Yeah.
I've given it to him. Like, and I hear women say this a lot, like, I have given him all this. Because women do tend to have a natural, more giving way than the ones that... And so therefore, then they personalise that, and they're like, I've given to him, I've done these things for him. It's his fault. He didn't give to me. He never made the bed. I think the woman suffers over this a lot more.
Yeah.
The relationship.
Tough.
I think the woman goes into a relationship with a lot of expectations of them producing happiness, and then the man suffers because he keeps failing the woman. Like, on the other, there is pain in both sides. But we brought up, like, money, except money. Money is also the other king, but relationships in this society are king. Like, it's the thing. Except money. Money is the other thing.
But when I'm hearing this, I have the feeling I'm very lucky because I'm in a happy relationship. It sounds like it's not possible, but I've experienced it as a melting.
Yeah.
It's really, for both persons, it's really great and good and happy about it and forgetting about me, just thinking about us. And it's really beautiful.
Yeah, but that's most probably because there's less personal ideas involved and there's less entity, like separate entities there. It is a really beautiful, everything's really beautiful, but it can be a really beautiful act when it's not. When it's really strongly personalised, like if you look at most of society, they hate each other, most couples. But if there's not much identity there, then there's not much friction, there's not trying to save the relationship or work the relationship out, it's just a happening, a melting. But if you just look back at society and listen to people, they're always moaning about their partner.
to give me some relaxation.
Yeah.
There isn't anything that can be done by anybody, nobody, to personalize or not personalize any life situation.
There's nobody there ever doing anything. So personal energy appear or non, or it stops appearing. And it's not anybody's actions because there's nobody. There's just appearance happening. And in that appearance, there might be also the appearance of a separate entity. But that also is appearance. There's nobody doing anything. But doing happens, but it's not anybody's. And there's not a better doing.
So also the talking about it doesn't better the situation.
The talking's are happening.
Thanks for being here anyway.
The mind just goes, ooh.
Yes.
It's
yes.
So used to looking at cause and effect. Yes. But when has there ever been cause and effect? When did anything start? Name one thing that started. Where it started anew from the flesh. Might take a while. And,
my mind wants to find an answer to that.
Yeah.
It wants its lying, like.
It's so obvious what's happening. There's no thing happening, that nothing's happening. There's not separate things, that's so obvious. There's no thing, there cannot be cause and effect. You cannot find the start of anything. Only in our limited description can we describe cause and effect. Just as a way of communication. A made up way to communicate. And we took it as a reality. This caused that. You, and it's mostly about you and me, not you and me, but like you and me as a whole. Like you did this to me, I did that to you. Guilty, bad, good. But no action is separate from everything else that ever happened, which is nothing. 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 It's so beautiful. I love it when we start to talk about nothing. It sounds so negative to the mind. Ah.
Beautiful English.
I can see you're still trying to find something that began. I can see you're trying to find something that began.
Ah.
As for example, a baby, the result of the sexual relationship between a man and a woman in your life.
We could say that limited human communication, but where did the act of that baby begin? At what moment did that baby begin? At the very moment of the beginning of the baby.
When the little thing of the man and the round thing of the woman got together.
You're so cute. I get to see her eyes. I get to see her eyes looking then. Well, when the egg and the sperm got together.
Is that not the beginning?
Sure.
When did the egg and the sperm begin? It's like a kaleidoscope. You'll never find it. It's all nothing. I love it though. Well, when? that's what most people think. It's so cute. They've been taught that. A baby begins that. that point, the egg, and then we've never even seen it, the egg and the sperm, we've just seen pictures of it, but it might be that this body's empty, we don't even know, we've never even looked inside. It's just a whole big joke. And we read it in a book, there's an egg, there's a sperm. Imagine the scientists are joking with us, like, the world is flat. See, the body's a robot. It's all machine inside.
We could ask the man who took a deep look into the elephant.
Two times.
This was
Did
it happen twice?
Yeah.
That's an inside joke.
Black hole joke.
Whereas it was a mannequin when I was about 5. My mother told me how this works.
That's fine, you got told that.
Yes, but it was very funny because the first time I was really lost. Yeah, because I asked my mother, and who was the first one? And I was lost because my mother didn't answer.
No, she didn't answer.
My mother and my father was not very Catholic and so on. And there was not. And I really get lost.
Oh, yeah. Who was the first one? That's such a cute question.
And I think from that moment on, I don't trust my mother anymore. Yes.
Who was the first one? Your mother must be my own crap.
No, she was being like, some stay, you go. But it was the same feeling when I first time was in contact with this message, with this non-dualistic message. It was like, boom. And it's now about half a year.
Where?
Both and boom. It's the same with my mother.
Yeah. Sometimes what happens in hearing this message, if you go, that, you know how you were saying in the break that your thoughts went a bit wild last night or something, or your head felt big, yeah. Like sometimes what happens is it's trying to find somewhere to sit, so it's scrambling to find something that it thinks it knows. It's really scary, the idea of not knowing. Something that's always felt like it knows. So it's like, hang on, there's something.
It's interesting you say that, because I just had a bargain with my mind, which was giving in and was confessing. So that all those cause and effect stories and our belief systems, my mind kind of said, yeah? It is true, but only on a very superficial level. When it comes to deeper asking or questioning, then there is no real answer. Then it's not an answer anymore. And the message, or the vital message, or the message we are sharing here, we are sharing with us, is kind of a very simple message or answer, but is an answer to every question. And my mind cannot say no to that.
Yeah.
It's interesting. My mind says, hey, there is always an answer. Perhaps it's a paradox, perhaps it doesn't make sense, but there actually, in a way, there is an answer to every question any human being in here has asked.
Which is? Which is?
The answer?
I don't know.
Well, yes, I don't know, or nothing appearing as something or
yeah.
So. There is an answer. I mean, very simple paradox, perhaps, but...
Yeah, it's very superficial, the way the mind thinks.
Yeah.
Very limited. It's just a relative thing of, like, pass me the sugar and sugar gets carved. But that's not the actual way things are happening, but it's a way that humans communicate. But humans have taken that to be truth, and it's become you. With your belief systems, what you know. So then the next time that you say it's your fault, then you'll be like, ah. Oh. You did this. I did this.
Is there any more anxiety on the side over there?
What do you describe as anxiety?
Like urges, I don't know, maybe fearing you're wrong or something's going to happen.
There's all sorts of different feelings and I can't really name all of them, but it's just not mine anymore. It's just the happening. And the, or even to say, like, Lisa doesn't feel anything, it's a bit of a funny thing, because to say, if I said it's the end of blame, so Ramesh Balsaka, he used to say it's the end of blame and guilt. And I can understand what he meant by that, but in another way it's not, because you are no longer this body, and therefore blame and guilt can still arise in this. Not, maybe not from this body, from other bodies, but that's still you. So it's the, all the lines begin to get blurred. But it's the end of that one that's holding anything to be more you, which is an energetical thing. Mm-hmm. It just becomes very silent in a non-silent way, or empty. And then things are happening. And full, but things are happening, but it's just the happening. But fear could happen. Anxiety, I think, tends to be about storytelling. So, like, but it like, tends to be like a... This is what's going to happen if this happens. Like, tends to be more of you imagining running out of money or imagining. But I don't really know.
Future stories, right?
Sorry?
Some of the stories about the future.
Yeah, but there could projected be. Future. But there could be like the building starts shaking, and then you might say that all the bodies feel anxiety, like or something. It was an earthquake. Or aliens start descending at the windows, and we're all like, ah! But basically, these questions normally are, I don't want to feel anxiety anymore, do you? Normally, when you ask about personal things, it's because you want to avoid anxiety. You want to hope that anxiety will go.
I had this experience recently going through the woods. And I realized that I am the woods, okay? Then I realized, like, I came into, like, thinking, actually I was thinking about this here, and then I realized, like, I'm contracting, and then open up again. I'm still the woods. But if I make, like, a huge story, this is, like, suddenly coming out to the open, or, like, not living in the contraction of mind,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Sometimes I was feeling like swimming in situations, especially social, alone, very nice, but with other people and swimming and anxiety, kind of in who, what?
Yeah, it can, because it's the personal energy coming back in and going, where am I sitting? I should be sitting somewhere. When I say sitting, I need to be something. So it's in the woods and it's not such an issue, but then when it's with other people, it's like, hang on, I need to be something now. So it goes back into a bit of personal story of, I need to sit somewhere. Because you might not be doing very well socially.
Yeah.
Or what other people expect.
So you're saying that there's no need to sit anywhere?
No, but it's like, it's when the anxiety comes, it's the person wanting to have a position. To be able to relate to another person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no position in which you could be, but if it happens, it happens. Like, where we know how to relate to other body mind mechanisms by knowing who we are, and then we know who they are. And then when that begins to drop, that can be scary.
Yeah.
Because then you're just naked with them. And it's so intimate, because the borders begin to dissolve. You over there, me here.
Yeah, that's kind of what I mean. I think when you like get to be fine with being naked, then what else could happen?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no need for anxiety. Somehow.
drinking some heavy gluten.
Can you say something about how you experience life, or life is experienced through your body mind system or
something? It's so hard.
Huh?
I can't even find myself, let alone describe myself, only in a very limited form of talking about Lisa. Just what the body does.
Happiness.
I can't even. Yeah. This is why I speak in the negative. Even now, just when we, us two, were talking about anxiety, we got so lost, us two. I don't know if anyone else noticed this energetically. Both of us are getting so lost.
Okay, so what do you mean by negative? It's easier to talk what it's not.
I can only point to what it's not.
Okay.
It's so hard. I got a t-shirt at home that says, "Don't follow me, I'm lost." I got it from a camping or walking shop. You really do become lost. That sounds really, like, you just don't know anymore. You're not sure. Like, just in a very limited way as a body.
Was a girl in the fun park yesterday with a t-shirt, "Trust me," and on the other side, "Or not." "Trust me or not."
But in a way, I create my world. I create Lisa. I create all of you. Because my creation is not a... You don't exist. You exist only in my
And who's way. You? Who's your brain?
My brain, my construction. Yeah.
Where and where does your brain come from?
Who knows? But you know, we have you have your world, I have mine. You know, I create you, you create me, because you know. So it will be, you know, the world is what you invent, what you see. What you see is what you get, in any way. What you see is what you get. That is very important.
But that, in a way, like, that's a different language from mine, but then the question comes to, so who's the one that's seeing the world? Mm. Like, that's true, that the world is veiled by everything the brain's producing. It's most probably the brain, I'm not 100% sure.
You see me.
And who's me, though? Obviously the brain's creating all these ideas, but who's the me that's creating the brain?
Yeah, but in any case, I see the Lisa, and I create my Lisa.
Yeah.
You see me, you create.
It's not, I would say, my language would be, it's not you creating it, but there's a creation of Lisa, and it's nothing to do with this body-mind mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a veil of sorts, yeah. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, big hug.
My creation.
Well, I think it's getting to needing the windows open again. Well, unless there's any more questions, if anyone's got anything else they'd like to say.
It's not so much a question, but there is always the same impression. I'm so fascinated when I'm in these kind of meetings, because the fascination is oneness, whatever. I never know what kind of word I should use. Configures in such different and weird ways.
Yeah.
And even that is one kind of weird configuration. I mean, bodies sitting here, and I would guess most of the bodies with a center of a me who tried to find the not me.
Yeah.
And I think that's weird.
It is, and it's just that, like you say, it's like another configuration rather than the supermarket or the shopping mall or the going to Ibiza.
It's not more.
It's just the different energy configuration. Mm. I forget that word now. Configuration. It's just another movement of that energy. But it's absolutely mind-blowing. The less you know, the more you're like...
Yeah.
Like when you thought, this is a cult that thinks they know something, or this is like a religion, or it's more containable to think about, but the more and more you don't know, the more you're like, wow, this is really weird that this is all appearing. And we're sitting here talking about it. What a funny expression.
And hope that there's more meaning than other things.
Yeah.
Is it maybe true that there's more women in non-duality than in other spiritual areas?
I think in this type of non-duality it's a little bit more male.
Yeah.
Not just because it's a woman speaking, I mean like this kind of
I mean speakers, yeah.
This kind of bit, some people might say it's a bit dry or a bit not so much talking about the emotions or the story, or some people might call it intellectual. But mostly, I think in spirituality, there's more women. But we were talking about Tony. She was saying
yeah.
More men.
Yeah.
So it goes to Tony. Well, thank you very much. It's always so lovely sharing. And just in case anybody didn't know, I'm always sharing on Ustream. I'm sure you all know, so you're more than welcome to join. Yeah.
Very funny videos.
You seem more intense. When it's live talks, it's not less intense, but it's less back and forth, because there's so many more people on Ustream asking questions. It's normally a lot more... Whereas these sort of talks, it's normally a lot more silent, actually. Questions about that? So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.
It really relies on the questions, honestly. Only a short bit if there's no questions. So it's really unfair that I get paid for it. So that's like, unfair.
You don't get within caviar.
Yeah.